Blog Talk Radio.
Mo Africa, emo otle. Om Africa, om tle. The beautiful African. We say this time, izwe lethu, lefatshe la rona, our land, shango lasho, tiko ra hina. Africa, this is a clarion call, a traditional patriotic call by sons and daughters of Africa, sons and daughters of the soil who served, suffered, and sacrificed, died for, and were executed fighting to dispossess and return the stolen land that was taken and stolen from the Africans. The call, Mo Africa, continues. The African kings and queens who fought war of resistance, remember, wars of resistance against colonial and apartheid occupation that started with the quiet resistance against the Portuguese invasion in 1510, Jan van Riebeck in 1652, and the apartheid regime of 1948. Africa, the Native Land Act of 1913, imposed by the British Union of South Africa, dispossessed us, the African majority, 87% of our fertile land, and segregated us and camped literally all the Africans into 13% of the dry land. Africa, 20 years after the black vote since 1994, which of course when calculated from 1913, is 103 years after the Native Land Act of 1913, as we said. And it's land, the land, we call it the Land Genocide Act. Africa, the black majority, we've got the vote, we've got no land. Yes, some will say that the government bought and returned about 8% of the stolen land from the using the willing buyer, willing seller, you know, mechanism. The money ran out because the farmers, occupying farmers, were imposing exorbitant prices. So the money ran out. Also, imagine that the black government paid the apartheid debt, and in the interim, for the 20 years, lost almost 80 billion rands to corruption. Now, we've mismanaged our money. We've mismanaged our right to justice with respect to dispossession of the land. In Africa, the postponement, you know, keep on postponing this issue. That should have been resolved at the beginning in 1994. It's not helpful, Africa. It's not helpful to everybody in the country, the majority and the minority. And it's a threat to our internal security and food security in particular, Africa. So we say that the people must govern and not the party government. Not the party must govern. It is the people must govern. We are the Africa. We are the majority as Africans. What are we afraid of to amend the constitution and communities to elect the party of their choice, community representatives, that is representatives from the party of the choice, to go to parliament, give them the mandate, then have political parties appoint party representative to parliament. It does not work. It does not work, and particularly to those amongst us, the majority of the liberation movement. What are you doing, guys? Are you happy just to sit in parliament, eat, drink, rubber stamp like police? I mean, worse than the guard at the gate, you know, Agongenola, in Duna. Are you just in Dunas? We say, my Africa, making the laws in parliament comes first. To every nation. And yes, we can elect local councils to simply, but local councils are there to, you know, pick up garbage, make sure that the water is delivered, provide offices to pay rent, some of the money in the projects for this, that's local stuff. But that takes away the sovereign right to make laws in parliament, and the people must decide. Laws, sometimes local councils impose unpopular laws. And we've had issues of demarcation where councils have to be merged, have to be moved and whatnot. And the people demonstrate to a point where some of them are killed or suffered incarceration. They are jailed for public violence. Houses are burned. People are hurt. We can't. That's not proper governing. Let people in parliament, let the people govern. The people must govern. Let them make laws in parliament. We are the majority. What are you afraid of? For example, Africa, there's an act here in the United States called the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. Now, that act was introduced by a congressman, black congressman, Charles Rangel, in District 13. That is part of Harlem in New York City. And the purpose was, as an African, person of African descent, he was saying, no, let me, he contributed, promoting, saying that no, African goods and services, textiles, coming into the United States must be duty free. They don't have to, we don't have to pay tariff or tax on imports into the United States. And the law itself, I mean, what is important about this law is that in the United States, no matter the party of the political party of the elected representatives, it can be Democrat, it can be independent, it can be Republican. The representative, first and foremost, listen to his constituents, his people, represent his own community, either be Congress or Senate. So AGOA is a perfect example of that, because what happens was that with AGOA, it allowed South African, African countries to bring in into the United States, as I said, produce, textiles, goods and services without paying taxes. Now, it so happens that there were two senators from a community of farmers that produced chickens, they produced cows, they produced pigs, they produced sheep, they produced goats. I mean, and they demanded that, okay, let us ship our stuff to South Africa. If South Africa is allowed to bring in citrus and other goods. But this law initially was to promote African countries to export in the United States. And these communities, the representative insisted. Congress people said that insisted, no. We have to be allowed, our communities have to be allowed to sell chicken feed, because that's what we eat. The poor in the majority of South Africa eat that, and they know it happened in the past. Chicken feed, chicken necks, like chicken entrails, stomachs, the insides, and then the goat and sheep feet. We eat feet, a lot of feet, and then we eat the head, the goat head and the sheep head, and then the bones too, a lot of it. And as I said, that's what the majority used to eat under apartheid. I don't know what the situation is, but it looks like the poverty is greater now and demand is much greater. And these folks knew, and they demanded, no, before you allow us to do this, you got to allow our meat and poultry to into South Africa, because before we allow you to. It's going on. It was going on. But the question is that us from that community in South African community and the black community, did we participate in Africa? Do I have a representative to call and say, look, this is the position I had. Can you tell me what you say? And then Parliament participates. Because the question is, when it comes to this, where are the people's representatives? Okay, the farmers, the animal and the farmers, got themselves together to actually, you know, protest, negotiate. But where was the, where's Parliament? Where's Parliament? Huh? So we are not participating. And Africa, the danger of this, we have situations here in the black community with respect to genomically modified foods, that is the GMO foods and animals, all right? The complaint is that black communities are suffering excessively or unfairly from eating processed meat, processed food. Their weight, Mafrika, obesity is killing the black community. And there are diseases, afflictions like diabetes, there's a whole lot. Diabetes, strokes, there's high blood pressure, there's, people are suffering, and the poor suffer more. So there is a great health danger here in Africa, and why don't we patriots participate in resolving some of these issues? Because we have just suffered apartheid genocide. Gem warfare was almost killed. We survived it. And we do not have hospitals. We do not have enough medical facilities. People are running short of pills. You'll be lucky to get a Panado. You go to the hospital, they give you a Tylenol. They give you aspirin. Now, with this processed food pumped into the country, we don't know, Africa. And our health is the first point of defense, first point of security. So we are saying that, Africa, we need the people's, the people must govern. We need a word into our government, because this, the way this government is structured, is locking us out. And I hear some one or two experts who are not elected. Yes, they can provide scientific information, but they don't have the power. If Parliament stood up and said that we don't want this, this is, was done for Africans, in particular, this was done for the majority. And the other thing, you look at it, the farmers, the producers of meat, the sheep, the goat, the cattle here in the United States, the exporters, are 99% white. 99% white. And the producers of citrus and exporters in South Africa are at least, let's say, 80% white. 85, 90% white, or 95% white, Caucasian. When are you going to deal with the issue of land redistribution, empowering the people? When? So we are saying that, Africa, AGOA, what happened with AGOA recently, was a perfect example of, we need Parliament, People's Parliament, to govern. And especially those in the liberation movement who are in Parliament now. What is your purpose? To sit there, like we're saying, that security guard? In Africa, fix the land policy now. One farm, one farmer. All right, redistribute the land. And those farmers, as we had pointed out in the last program, those farmers who wish to have extended land, you know, more land, bring incentives and put up guarantees. Recently, in Africa, one white farmer committed suicide because of drought. Fear in Africa, insecurity. Take it or leave it, impose land policy now, because it's a matter of justice. The law states that obviously where there is, there was apparent or documented injustice, like the Native Land Act, reverse that, dispossess the land. All right. Let the state own, take ownership of the land, and begin the process of getting rid of the injustice of the past. Africa, just do it. Take it or leave it, man. Implement the land dispossession and redistribution. Those who agree will get help and grow. Those who disagree or seek confrontation, hard luck or good luck. See to finish. We have a government by commissions, Africa, not government by the people. Every time there's an omission, fees must fall. Children had to rise up because the fees were too high. Why did government, where was Parliament? And where was security to see that before the explosion happened? We've had Marikana with respect to the miners. Where was Parliament? Because if that matter came to Parliament, it could have been resolved, stopped before the massacre happened. The judiciary in Africa, National Prosecuting Authority, which is the most important arm, it has to be separate and independent, autonomous. Judicial commissions in Africa. How do we run? How do we run a country like this? As you know, the National Prosecuting Authority, the executive, the commission was appointed but abandoned. It was abandoned by the presidency. And what happened was that it gave the national director, paid him off, 17 million rands. That's why the country is almost in debt. You spend more than you generate income. And that's not the way to run it, run the country, my friend. So we are saying that we need the People's Parliament to be able to be our eyes and ears. And if anything, it allows a more broader participation. Talk about broad-based participation. It empowers the greater aspect. And it is a right, Mafrika, because the People's Parliament has to be autonomous from the executive. Yes, they have to work in relation, but it has to be autonomous. That's the eyes and ears that providing oversight over the executive. We can't go on like this. What is so difficult? We're the African majority, Mafrika. Why don't we amend the constitution? Party appointed representatives currently in parliament should seek a new community mandate. Be elected by own communities to parliament or alternatively be assigned to specific communities until elections are held for a new mandate. That could be arranged, Mafrika. But do something. Do not sit there like security bosses just rubber stamping everything and then the next thing is the country's security. We are suffering, Mafrika. Yes, the executive has the prerogative to appoint cabinet, but not against national security and interests if it undermines that. And you are there, Mafrika. The question is, where is Parliament to protect the national security and interests of the majority of the nation? Because we are the majority. Do not behave like a segmented group that's getting a segregated vote. That's what, and the parties are splintered. So splintered, you are in more parts today than you can think of, than imaginable, can be imagined. My Africa, political freedom without economic freedom is nothing, stated by the leader of the country. And he do not believe in the market dictates supply and demand. Huh? But my Africa, if you fail to take back the stolen land, now you're not talking about farming only, you're talking about minerals. Because the minerals in the underground provide the bankable guarantee. You've hardly taken and given shares, like, for example, in saying that people must look to buy minerals and not look shares, not to get shares in mining companies. What are you talking about? How many Africans can buy mines? Huh? We should buy mines, not look for shares in the mining companies. What kind of situation is that? We are the majority owners of the land and the minerals underneath. And you have someone else own the minerals, dig out the minerals, and then you turn around and say that you don't believe in market principles. Your money is worthless without the backup of minerals. You don't use your own gold and minerals to back up your own national currency and loan guarantee. So that's why everything is collapsing. But my Africa, after like the recent issue of the firing of the Minister of Finance, all right, as it was said, that wiped off 19% of the value of the banking index, almost 169 billion rands forex left the country. And you know what? They left the country because they want to make profit. That's, there's no allegiance to the country. No, they just want to make profits. But the worst thing is, where was Parliament? Where were the parliamentarians to discuss this matter? Which, of course, the executive of the governing party, they met and listened. They met the business executives, all right? Matt Apsa, executive, Goldman Sachs, executive, Investec, executive, and Imperial Holding, Sanlam, business leadership, Toyota, Europe CEO, and First Rand. Now, after they had a meeting with these executives, all right, it was then that the president changed and reappointed Pravin Gordhan as the Minister of Finance. The question is, Mafrika, where was Parliament? Huh? Don't we have to? Why can't we have our own representatives now? Yes, business executives are part and parcel of the country, very important. But these are beneficiaries of apartheid bloody money. They still owe us the injustice of the apartheid economic crimes. They never paid them. What they did was they give shares and give money to a few amongst us. Mafrika, you members of the liberation movement, what are you doing with our sovereign rights to justice? And you turn around and say that the ANC have heard the people of South Africa. That's why you changed. No, you did not hear anybody because we have no voice. Parliament was, the People's Parliament did not say anything on this matter. It is the business community, its capital, that imposed its ways and gave a warning to you. Like we've pointed out in the past programs, that when even Butler's was reportedly, allegedly, you know, want to dump APSA. So, Africa, these are some of the consequences that we are faced with. But the question is, as a people, sovereign people and the majority, who fought for liberation, what are our compatriots doing about this? We are not saying that the executive must not rule. The executive can rule there. Why don't you amend the constitution so that the parliament becomes a people's parliament, not the party parliament? And the other thing pointed out recently in the celebration of the governing party, the birthday of the governing party, leader raised the question that without inequality, unemployment, and hunger, poverty, will never be solved. Now, this is 21 years after the first vote. This is 103 years after the imposition of the Land Genocide Act, the Native Land Act of 1913. 103 years, Africa. You are still telling us that you couldn't resolve the land issue? The premise that the land shall be shared among those who work it. The premise is the premise right? Are the Africans working the land? Do you have access to land? And we're not talking about access to land only, farming land, because that's a narrow misconception of land. There's housing, there's water, games park, and much of the land is owned and occupied by the mining companies. Now, just walking across certain areas, you cannot walk there because much of the land is closed up, and the dams are owned by individuals, Murphy. Water. How could we allow the kind of situation to continue? Cecil John Rhodes, Mafrika, recently declared the former apartheid, the last apartheid president, wrote that wrote against the Roads Must Fall campaign in Oxford Oriel College. And to quote Mafrika, he wrote, "With the honorable solution not be to return his bequest plus interest to the victims of British imperialism in South Africa." This may not be the complete quote, Mafrika, but in principle, this says that if indeed Oriel College is going to remove the Rhodes statue at Oxford University, it would mean that the honorable act to do solution would be to return his bequest, whatever he has to return it, plus interest to the victims of British imperialism in Southern Africa. That's a heavy statement, my friend. So, Rhodes is a fake. Like the African has pointed out, that we stand for the complete overthrow of white domination. That is the Pan-Africanist Congress, Mafrika, the Africanist group. We stand for the complete overthrow of white domination. That means that the South Africa Act of 1909, that fossilized relic of white man's exclusive privileges and prejudices, must be scrapped. And Mafrika, to ignore historical truths, it's at your own peril, Mafrika. But to lie about history is to commit historical suicide. But the question is, Mafrika, why you want now, you are waiting for the declared, because what's happening here is that the campaign to remove, according to the students in London, of course, you're waiting for it to come from London so that you can believe it, from Rhodes University. Rhodes Oriel College. You're waiting for it to come from there. But in principle, the campaign was not just to remove the statue, but was part of a reckoning of the past. And it goes on to say that popular history sanitizes the brutal facts of colonialism, and those who profited are recast as heroes. Much of the British history rests on an unsavory pile of native corpses of land pillage by imperialist megalomaniacs. To maintain the rose-tinted myths of colonialism, its victims must be silenced. Now, Mafrika, the clerk says that, no. Throw away whatever, if that's the case, then. If Rhodes is removed, must fall, remove, he must pay back interest and for the victims of imperialism, British imperialism. That's it, Mafrika. So, thanks a lot for the privilege of talking to you, and thanks for the privilege of listening, Mafrika. We say again, isolate our land, Fatsala Rona, Sango Lasho, Tiko Raihena. We thank the privilege of talking to you and thank the privilege of listening. Mafrika, thanks a lot. But like we are saying, that are you waiting for the clerk to tell you that South Africa is a fossilized relic? Principle that was uttered by our own Africanist. Maybe you will believe it, but the African majority must stand up, and the ruling party, ruling government, please, Liberation Movement members, rise up. Thank you.